Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's 8:50 and time for our first look at the commodity markets on this day after the election. And with our pre-opening report, here's Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Wednesday morning, everyone. Cash hog prices today are called steady to lower amid uncertainty about packer demand for the balance of the week and about wholesale pork prices heading toward the Thanksgiving holiday period. Terminals are called mostly steady to $1 lower today. Top prices from $43 to $45. Peoria called steady today with a top price of $43. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Tuesday, November 7th, negotiated swine purchases were $16,580 for the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis. The base price range was $52.50 to $65. The weighted average, $62.21, a loss of 84 cents from Monday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $45.95 to $51, and the weighted average was $49.26. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were $15,891. The base price range was $52.50 to $65.10. The weighted average, $62.83, a gain of 33 cents from Monday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $43.59 to $50.45, and the weighted average was $47.63.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather, AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Dave. Taking a look at the weather for the Midwest Corn Belt, we're getting a little break in the action as far as rain. We had a little bit of drizzle around yesterday, and that kept the fields a little bit wet in the Eastern Corn Belt, but much of the Corn Belt has turned a bit on the drier side here for a couple of days at least. So that's going to help with some of the late harvest operations. And that's going to be important to try to get some of that crop in, because it does look like the weather pattern may turn a bit wetter here, starting with the next front coming through on Friday and then another one early next week. And we'll probably start to get a parade of weather systems every few days here. And that could bog down late season field work. So the more that can be done over the next couple of days, probably the better. Of course, some places may require more than a couple of days of work already. It looks like the next round of precipitation isn't going to be all that heavy. There may be a band of heavier rainfall, though, moving across the northeastern Midwest as we go Friday into Saturday morning. The southwestern portions of the Midwest will get the least amount of precipitation. Then we have another system, as I mentioned, coming into western areas Sunday, pushing eastward across the belt on Monday. And then around the middle of next week, there will be yet another weather system. So I think we are going to turn wetter. Now, we are going to turn warmer here over the next couple of days, with high temperatures in the 50s and 60s over much of the Midwest, and even from western Illinois across southern Iowa and Missouri today. High temperatures are going to be in the 70s, and some 70s will exist in the Ohio Valley then tomorrow and Friday. But cooler air will already start to punch into the northwestern Midwest on Friday behind that next cold front. So we will have some up and down in temperature, but we'll have some good drying taking place later today, and better drying across much of the Midwest during the day tomorrow. Overnight low temperatures, though, are coming up with some moisture in the air. Dew point temperatures a little bit elevated, though. At night, we're still going to get some dew with some fog here the next couple of nights. So that will not aid in the drying rates as much. But we are going in the afternoon hours, especially tomorrow, see some drying. Now, in the Great Plains hard red winter wheat belt, it looks like they're going to get a few weather systems through there, although it does look like some of the southwestern areas are going to stay rather dry over the next week or so. Some very warm weather will exist over the Texas and Oklahoma panhandle areas into western Kansas and eastern Colorado. Some high temperatures as high as the 80s here over the next couple of days. There may be a few showers in eastern portions of the hard red winter wheat belt on Friday and more across northern into eastern areas on about Sunday. But some of those southwestern areas will stay dry, but they're warm, so there's going to be more growth to the crop before the crop goes dormant. And going to South America, rainfall during the last 24 hours was confined mainly to the northern portions of the Brazilian bean belt, as we indicated yesterday. The central and southern sections remained dry, as did Argentina. So some good planting weather throughout Argentina and in Brazil from Rio Grande do Sul up through Santa Catarina, Paraná, São Paulo, southern Mato Grosso do Sul, and the southern portions of Minas Gerais. At least those fields had dried out enough after rain the day before yesterday. Heaviest rains were in far northern Mato Grosso do Sul into Mato Grosso, at least southern portions, Goiás into Bahia, and northern Minas Gerais. And as we look ahead, it does look like there will still be some rain in those northern production areas, especially northeast, but some dry weather continues the next couple of days in Argentina and southern Brazil, helping planting there. That's a look at the growing areas. I'm meteorologist Ed Keezer.
In the Tuesday overnight trading session, Kansas City December wheat opened at 526.5, up 3/4, last trade up 6. March, 543.75, up 3/4, last trade up 3. December wheat at the Board of Trade opened at 497.5, up 0.5, last trade up 6.75. March, 517.75, down 1.25, last trade up 2.75. July, 478, down 3/4, last trade up 3.5. December corn opened at 351.25, up 1/4, last trade up 4.5. March, 366, down 3/4, last trade up 4. May, 372.5, down 1/4, last trade up 4.25. Your red line, December, 356, down 3/4, last trade up 2.75. March, 2008, 360, down 2.25, last trade up 1.75. November beans open at 6.55, up 1/4, last trade up 1/4. January, 6.67.5, up 1/4, last trade up 8.25. March, 6.78, down 0.5, last trade up 7.5. July, 6.92.5, unchanged, last trade up 7.5. December soybean meal opened at 197.20, down 20, last trade up 2.30. December soybean oil opened at 27.67, unchanged, last trade up 17. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities. He is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Clayton.
Hey, good morning, Dave.
Well, overnight, December corn fills its gap on the nearby weekly chart that dated back to 95.96, moving above 354. What does that potentially do to the upside?
Well, boy, I'll tell you, on the weekly chart, I still show another gap up at 358.5 for what it's worth. But I think the day before report in particular, I mean, emotions don't run much higher than what they will be between today and tomorrow. In my opinion, this market has become severely overbought, I think, regardless of the fundamentals and regardless of where we might be in 30 days or 6 months from now. I think there's a lot of volatility just very likely in the next 48 hours. And as such, I mean, I don't think you can take anything for granted. It seems like the bulls have no fear here of the downside at all. And who knows what the heck this thing can get up to on the upside. So I guess right now all bets are off in this report tomorrow. I think I feel very strongly that the whatever is released in the report is not as important as just the passage of the report. I think that'll kind of put the green light back on trading in a lot of people's minds, and shortly after the release, the numbers themselves won't really be that critical.
So does that mean if the green light is on, we're looking at corn at 386 to 389?
Personally, I'd be surprised if he can get up there in this one move here. You know, when you look at some of the historical sentiment indicators and measurements of market being overbought or the length of the rally and that kind of thing, but I wouldn't think we'd be able to reach those kind of numbers without a pullback first. and or without, you know, some more bullish fundamental news hitting the market. I think it's very much a money game right now, and not as much of a fundamentally driven game as a lot of the analysts would lead you to believe. And boy, a money game is darn near impossible to, you know, pinpoint where it's going to peak out.
So if it's a money game, then soybeans have equal chance to push more to the upside.
I think that's true. I have a hard time buying into this theory that beans are rallying to, you know, to try to buy back lost acres and that kind of thing. I mean, there's clearly a desire by a lot of new money in this game to just buy tangible assets, mainly ag commodities. And equally as clear, in my opinion, is a lack of concern with, you know, those messy details like supply and demand. I don't think that's really a driving factor here.
Thank you very much, Clayton.
Okay, thank you.
Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities. He is located in Champaign, Illinois. You're listening to WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. We are on the web at WILLAG.org.